Back in 1992, something remarkable happened. More than 150 countries gathered in Rio de Janeiro to approve a framework on how world leaders were going to fight climate change. Maurice Strong was Secretary General of that meeting, and he spoke at the time about what would happen if the delegates fell short of their duty.
If the agreements reached here do not serve the common interests of the entire human family, if they are devoid of the means and the commitments required to implement them, if the world lapses back after Rio to business as usual, we will have missed a historic opportunity.
That framework from Rio called for yearly check-ins. They named it Conferences of the Parties, or COP. Well, COP26 starts in Glasgow on Sunday, and after a UN-backed report warned earlier this year that we only have a decade to stop the worst consequences of climate change, that same question posed 29 years ago still stands. How will we use this opportunity to reverse this climate crisis? With us is Alden Meyer. He's been to almost every COP meeting, including this one. He works for the climate change think tank E3G. And he joins us now. Welcome to the show.
Great to be with you, Tanya.
Earlier this week, the UN said that the concentration of greenhouse gases in the atmosphere hit another record last year, and that the world is way off track to slow down catastrophic warming. How urgent is this year's meeting in Scotland?
Well, it's very urgent. The reality is it's been nearly 30 years now since the Rio Earth Summit in 1992, and you can't fool the atmosphere. The atmosphere it refers to physics and the emissions we put up into it. It doesn't really care about rhetoric and politicians' speeches. And the reality is that we've continued to pump more greenhouse gases into the atmosphere almost every year since Rio, and we're wildly off course where we need to be if we're going to avoid truly devastating impacts.
Right. This year's COP has been called the last best chance to reverse this crisis. Countries will be expected to update their plans to cut emissions further under the Paris Climate Agreement. What are the main points of debate or contention you'll be watching for?
Well, we have a number of countries such as the U.S. and Japan, the European Union, and others that have already made revisions to their commitments under the Paris Agreement. But there's a number of the big ones such as China, India, and others that have yet to do that. So everyone will be watching what they say about their intentions at this meeting in Glasgow. Countries will also be watching what the developed countries do to increase the financial support and technology assistance to countries like India, Indonesia, South Africa, and others to enable them to make a speedy transition away from dependence on coal and other fossil fuels and towards clean energy resources.
I want to go back a little bit to get to this point that you're making here. These COP meetings have made history over the years. At COP3 in Japan in 1997, the Kyoto Protocol was announced, and this was an early agreement to reduce emissions. Here's then-President Bill Clinton talking about it.
The agreement is environmentally strong and economically sound. It reflects a commitment by our generation to act in the interest of future generations.
But when the U.S. delegation returned home with that agreement, Congress refused to ratify it. Can you remind us how significant Kyoto was at the time and how it's affected the international fight against climate change?
Kyoto was a very important meeting. It was a recognition that the agreement reached 5 years earlier in Rio de Janeiro was not sufficient. It had set purely voluntary targets for developed countries like the United States, Europe, and Japan, and they weren't being met. And so countries agreed they needed to negotiate something that was legally binding on the developed countries, and that was the origin of the Kyoto Protocol. The problem, of course, was that President Clinton, Vice President Gore, had no strategy to persuade the Senate to ratify the treaty. Without the United States joining it, some of the other developed countries started pulling out over time, leaving basically the European Union and a handful of others is the only country still operating under those restrictions. And they represented about 15% of global emissions. So it really wasn't sufficient to do the job. And countries regrouped and realized we needed something that was universal, that applied to all. And that's what led to the Paris Agreement in 2015.
Right. And that COP21 in France was a big deal. It's where the 2015 Paris Climate Agreement experienced a major breakthrough. Nearly 200 countries signed to limit warming to 2 degrees Celsius. But then 2 years later, after it was signed, President Trump pulled the U.S. out of the deal. Here he is talking about it in 2017.
Not only does this deal subject our citizens to harsh economic restrictions, it fails to live up to our environmental ideals. As someone who cares deeply about the environment, which I do, I cannot in good conscience support a deal that punishes the United States, which is what it does.
Alden, how much did leaving the Paris Accord set the world back and put us now in the position, as the UN says, of being way off track to slow down climate change?
Well, first of all, let me say that President Trump clearly had no clue what the Paris Agreement was about. The reality is each country put forward its own proposed reduction targets in the run-up to Paris. They were voluntary, not imposed on the United States by some foreign power. Put that aside, clearly it had an impact in terms of the U.S. being the world's largest economy, the second largest emitting country in the world, being on the sidelines for 4 years. But the good news is that no other country followed the United States out of Paris, and a number of mayors, governors, business leaders, investors, and others here in the United States stepped up and launched the We Are Still In Coalition, pledging to do their best to have the United States meet the Paris agreed targets, even without the president in the deal.
President Biden got the United States back on track, and Biden is eager to show up in Glasgow with an infrastructure deal that really addresses climate change in a significant way. Have you seen anything out of the United States and other developed countries that shows they are committed to making a meaningful dent in emissions?
Yeah, I think most of the developed countries now have stepped up with pretty ambitious near-term objectives, most aiming to cut emissions roughly in half by the end of this decade. They're at mixed stages in the implementation pathway. Of course, the European Union, having dealt with this for a number of years, is perhaps out in front. The United States, as you mentioned, is really in that process with the legislation now making its way through the Hill. And I can tell you, ministers, negotiators, reporters I talk to around the world are watching what's happening in Congress very closely to see if President Biden will get the tools he needs to get the U.S. towards that 50% reduction by 2030 that he's committed to.
Where do you think the impact of COP26 will end up being ranked in the history of these meetings, most of which you've attended?
Well, I think it's going to be a pretty significant meeting if we get the kind of decisions and agreements at the end of it that we need. Basically, this is a pivot point in this 30-year process away from negotiating rules and treaties and to implementing what we've already agreed to. The reality is we've got a good framework agreement. We've got a good implementation pathway laid out of Paris. We have to now do it, as Nike said, just do it, and we have to strengthen it. And those will be the two litmus tests for Glasgow. Can we move forward together? And, of course, can we help the most vulnerable countries and communities around the world that are already experiencing devastating impacts from current climate change?
That's Alden Meyer, Senior Associate at E3G, a climate change think tank. Alden, thank you so much.
Glad to be with you. Thanks for having me.